production. This is the Rush Hour with AB and Elliot's podcast. Rush
Hour! AB, Elliot, you know how when I go away, I always forget something?
Every time. You forgot your toothbrush last time or undies?
Both. Everything in that little toiletries bag when I went to Noosa.
Nice.
So over the weekend, went to Cairns for the Ironman weekend. I forgot to bring my race belt, which is the belt that you wear during the race that you put your attach your race number to. So I forgot that, so I had to do the old school thing where I had to pin it to my shirt and whatever. Anyway.
So povo.
On Monday, when I got back home, I was checking the letterbox and picked up some mail, saw something in there for my parents, so went to mum and dad's place and dropped it off. And then as I was leaving, I texted mum and said, hey, I don't suppose I've left my wallet in your house, have I?
I'm not going to get criticised by this show anymore. Because I don't do shit like that.
I'll criticise you. It's not me doing it.
And she goes...
That's ridiculous.
She goes, no, there's no wallet here. I'm like, oh, okay.
Pull it together, mate. You're meant to be the organised one on this team.
Cans, wasn't it?
No, my wallet was in the letterbox.
Oh, for God's sakes.
I did put my phone in the fridge once, actually.
My neighbour actually knocked on my door last night and said, hey, the other day I saw your wallet sitting on top of the letterbox, so I put it inside. Did you get it? And I was like, oh, that was
so
you.
So it could have been even more catastrophic.
Thank you.
It's concerning because you have two polar opposite sides. Yeah. You have...
Yeah, you're really together usually.
You're very organised at work, like to the point where if you ever lose us, I'll probably have to kill you. But... away from work, you're more scattered than my mate over here.
I think maybe I put all my organisational skills to use at work, I'm very good at like hiding my tracks at work, so you guys don't actually know too often if I've stuffed up. And then I've just got nothing left.
Well, that's a concerning sentence, Luke. We don't know. When have you stuffed up? What did you do?
Well, you don't need to know that.
Well, now I want to know.
No, because
he's killed a man.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you know,
he hit it well.
You know when you go to an event and everything runs smoothly and you're like, oh, what a great event.
Yeah.
And then behind the scenes, the event manager is pulling their hair out because all sorts of things have gone wrong. That's me on a daily.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you do a good job to hide it.
Thanks. That's
I feel more refreshed now because I don't do that many. And also packing wise, I've done it so often now that I do checklists.
You do a checklist before you pack. How hard is it? Knickers, jocks, what, same thing?
Nah, because like Knickers, I will be going down to, for instance, I'm going to Brisbane this weekend for my baby shower.
Right.
But I'm also working
your
the
second
footy.
Baby shower, yep.
So I need to be like, have I got my accreditation? Have I got the keys to my parents' place? Have I got the keys to the office in Brisbane? Have I got my correct shirt for
So I'm going to pause you there. If you don't have the keys to your parents' place, they can let you in. If you don't have the keys.
I land at 11:50 p.m.
Yeah, but worst case, they can let you in. If you don't have the keys to work, you knock on the door.
But I don't want to forget the keys.
You know, that's not important stuff.
Okay, so you're saying is you also forget, but you just get away with it because you...
No, I am a minimalist when it comes to travelling. I take bugger all with me. So
no keys.
No, I never take keys or anything like that. I take two pairs of shorts, two shirts, a hoodie. I'll take the same shoes for the week and my toiletries and maybe
just
two pairs of
your windows, brother.
I'm a minimalist as well when I travel. I'm going to forget something.
Which is concerning if you're a minimalist and forgetting one of the two things you're packing.
I know.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know.
Anyway.
We have
sometimes.
No hope.
Show today, what do you got?
Oh, Jonathan Hofmeister.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about him yesterday.
Yeah.
He went to school with you and chopped off his finger. Anyway, he contacted us and said, hang on, there's some things about that story that aren't quite right. And then we heard more stories that urban legends from school?
Yeah, those tales that everybody tells when they leave and pass on.
Well, I don't know if they're urban legends because urban legends suggest that they're not real.
No, urban legends I feel like is just a tale that's just evolved over time.
No, urban legends like a drop bear.
No,
a drop bear is an
urban
legend.
Myth.
There's an urban legend, for instance, about like a murder thing that happened near Brisbane, but it ended up being like slightly true, but not totally true.
Yeah, that's
how is a murder slightly or not? Like, did they die?
Well,
or
the details were different.
Definition of urban legend.
Okay.
This way I can know forever. A humorous or horrific story or piece of information circulated as though true, especially perpetrating to involve someone vaguely related to... That doesn't make sense to me. What is a dumb way of saying that? Urban legend. A story about unusual humorous event that many people believe to be true but isn't true. Yeah, sucked in, losers. Okay. Urban legends aren't true.
Okay, anyway.
So it's partially true.
No, they're not true.
No, but as in the ones we were telling were partially true.
Based on
sometimes
something
exaggerated.
True, it's just evolved over the years. Mm. Something in the air in central Queensland. So we're going to jar it and we're going to send it off.
Mm.
Elliot, you had a very awkward encounter in the wild.
With a double amputee.
Yeah.
Yep.
AB, we tried to find a room for the king. He's visiting Queensland.
I'm just about cost cutting, you know.
And
great options there.
Speaking of kings, Joe Stimson, he joined us.
He's the best.
What is? Yeah.
He's so self-deprecating all the time.
He's just
his
funny.
Comment about Billy Slater is very funny in it.
He's just. If I was to do a list of most likable men in rugby league, he'd be in the top five.
I think he'd make a list of most likable people generally.
Yeah, true.
Who else is on that list?
Oh, don't put me on the spot. I'll start with him.
Michael
I'll come back
Morgan.
To you. Well, he doesn't play anymore, so he doesn't count. I'll come back to you at a later date. I'll come back to you at a later date. Anyway, enjoy the podcast. I'll talk
Have
to you
fun,
soon.
Babe.
This is Triple M's Rush Hour with AB and Elliot.
In case people missed it yesterday, Elliot, we were talking about persevering through injuries, and you had a great story from when you were at school that you shared about someone.
There's a kid, I'll never forget his name, and I don't know what he does now. Jonathan Hofmeister was his name. I went to primary school with him for a year. Jonathan cut off his thumb with a bandsaw, didn't tell his parents, and tried to come to school that morning.
Oh.
So tried to ride his bike to school.
Where is he now? I have to know.
I don't know. Shout out to Jonathan.
What's his full name again?
Jonathan Hofmeister.
Obsessed.
Yeah.
What kind of kid is that much of a battler in primary school that they persevere through a cut-off limb to make it to class?
Mm.
Fortunately for us, we have more influence and listeners than we thought. We thought it was very few. Someone's talked to someone else. We've received a message from said Jonathan Hofmeister, who joins us on the line this afternoon. Good afternoon, mate. Who got in contact with you?
I got a phone call from a mate of mine that still lives in Cairns, and he said, you guys were chasing me.
So you're in Weeper now, Jonathan. This is, oh, I did say, I haven't spoken to you since we were 11. That's the story as I remember it. Is that how it went down?
Not quite.
Right.
That's a bit of a twisted story there, but I cut my index finger off.
Oh, so it's even worse of a digit that you removed, and you did it on the saw at home in the morning?
It was in the afternoon after school.
How did it happen, Jonathan? What's the real story?
All right, let's start. It's started off as I was building a chicken coop for my dad as a surprise home alone, and the handsaw was too slow, so I pulled out granddad's circular power saw. And that ripping blade, and obviously me being 10 years old, didn't know what I was doing. And, one thing led to another, and a finger fell off.
Okay, and so that was in the afternoon. You then went to school the next day without telling anyone. Is that correct?
So what happened is Mum, she was a theatre nurse, so I gave her a call. And she sent the neighbour over, and then Dad came home about an hour later.
Oh, I can't remember you getting the finger reattached. You didn't, did you?
No, because it was a ripping blade. It shattered the finger and just ruined it, so they had to amputate it.
Okay, and so you went to school the next day with your finger removed.
No, it was about a week later.
Was it? Oh, Elliot.
Hey, this is a story that's been told through time. We remember what we want to remember as kids. Do you have a prosthetic finger now, Jono?
No, I'm just used to not having it there.
The digits just
What do you do for work?
I'm a fitter and turner up in Weeper in the mines.
Yeah, see, I told you that he would be doing something tough.
Didn't you say he might be in jail?
No, I said I thought he'd done Everest.
That's right.
It was either or.
Jono, final question for you, and I won't be offended whatever your answer is here. I remember you as a kid that I thought you cut your thumb off, but your pointer finger, I remember you as that kid.
Yeah.
Do you remember me from school at all?
Yeah, mate, you were a year over me, and you're always one of those cool kids getting around.
That is not true. Did he pay you some money for that, Jonathan? I mean, we're talking to the, like, urban legend kid of your school right now. We're getting to the bottom of the urban legend.
Yeah.
Can you believe that you are that guy from primary school, Jonathan?
It doesn't surprise me. I've had a few people up in Weeper go, oh, you're that fella that cut his finger off.
Oh, hey.
Every school has one.
Good on you for reaching out to us, brother. And I'm a little bit disappointed we've had to shatter a little bit of that story. But honestly, really lovely to reconnect with you. What, 20-odd years later, mate?
Yeah, mate, yeah. It's 21 years later.
Unbelievable.
I reckon that we keep it going. Like, we make it worse. So let's add another element.
Okay.
Jonathan's finger got bitten off by a shark or crocodile.
Yep.
It was actually his whole hand, and he went to school minutes later.
Well, that same year I got bitten by a snake as well.
Did you?
What kind of snake?
It was just a python. I stepped on him.
You're
just
so tough, dead set. You are. Well, you are way better than us as a person.
Sincerely, Jono, hey, glad to hear you're happy, healthy, and thriving in God's country and Weeper, brother. Lovely to speak to you.
Thanks, mate. Can I give a shout out
to
Brandon and Tim Marks for listening to you guys and giving me a call?
Yeah. Shout out to them. Where are they? Are they in Cairns?
Yeah, they're in Cairns. They're at Harley Magic.
Shout out to the boys.
Tell them to keep the story going.
Yeah, exactly.
For many years to come.
Well, I want you to go back to school, whether primary school, high school, whenever it was. What's the one story you'll never forget from those days, whether it's an individual or a day where the school shut down? Remember the days of the old school. 133353, the one story you'll never forget. For those that just missed it, we just sat down with a bloke I hadn't spoken to in over 20 years, a kid called Jonathan Hoffmeister, who I did a year of primary school with in Cairns. He came to school one day with no pointer finger. He'd cut it off trying to make a chicken coop for his dad for his birthday. Jonathan was 10 at the time, like this.
And that was your school story.
Yeah.
Because you had a bit of a different version. You were like, yeah, he cut off his thumb, he came to school the next day.
Yeah.
We've spoken to him. It wasn't quite what it was.
Apparently had a week off.
That's what school's urban legend stories are like.
I'll never forget that story to the day I die.
They change along the years. And we had one at my school. So I went to an all-girls school in Brisbane. And we were the only, like, school in the private system that didn't have school dances. And we used to always get really annoying. Oh, why does Churchy get to have school dances? Why does BBC get to have school dances and we don't? And there was a story that apparently a girl from my school, which was Somerville House in Brisbane, she'd misbehaved with a number of boys in the school organ at the dance and got caught. As a result, dances were banned from the school altogether.
Hang on. She had sex inside a piano.
I wanted to dance around that, but yes,
no,
she did.
I'm trying to work out the logistics.
I don't want to shame her.
It's not shaming. It's how do you contort your body inside a
organ.
Piano?
It was an organ.
I don't know what an organ looks like.
Like a school organ was like a huge kind of thing.
Big.
So there was space to. Yeah.
Where?
It was like up on the wall. But so no, I don't know how she got into
it. You lift the lid to get inside. I don't understand this.
You don't ask the logistics at the time.
Right, okay.
You just say, that's why we don't have school dances. And then you tell the next grade of kids, why don't we have school dances? Oh, yeah. And it changes a little bit along the way.
Right.
Like how many dudes there were changed.
How many people fit inside the organ? I'm imagining like a clown car, you know, where 12 of them pop out at the same time.
Yeah, and it would have been a much more boring story. They're probably like, oh, we didn't have enough money for the school dance. But everyone has that story from their school.
I believe that, whether it was something wonderful or something horrendous. I mentioned Jonathan Hoffmeister cutting off his finger. That one will stick with me. The other one too and I hate for this kid, and I hope this kid's grown up to be a superstar. There was in a school assembly when I was 6 years of age, I'll never forget this, where our principal at the time, and he shouldn't have done it this way, got up and said, someone's done a poo in the urinal and no one's leaving this assembly until that person comes up and admits it was them. So we sat there for what felt like an hour in silence till eventually this kid in grade two with glasses, with his head hanging in shame, walked up
to the
stage.
So you actually witnessed this?
There was 500 kids there.
No, this
was
just the story.
I was there. I just said, we sat in assembly, watched this kid walk up to the stage and the principal dragged him off. It was like the movie Matilda.
What was his name?
With poo. I don't know.
I really hope he's okay. Can we Jonathan Hoffmeister him and get him on as well?
If you're the kid that did a poo in the urinal.
And what school was it again?
It was in Brisbane at the time. So, yeah, I don't think we'll be getting that one. Hopefully he's okay. 133353.
And if you're organ girl, I'm here for you. Don't worry.
The one story you'll never forget from your schooling.
We'll go to Harvey Bay firstly on 133353. Kat, you're the person that your school talks about. Is that right?
I am indeed. So playing handball as you do back in primary school, went under the building to collect the ball and forgot to duck. and cut my head open, and I've had a facelift when I was in like grade 6. So
that's
what they talk about.
So
a kid who had a facelift.
So cut your head open to the point where you needed surgery.
Yep, and so it was in the middle of my forehead, and the doctor and my mum decided that I would get teased less if it got moved to my forehead, like right to my hairline.
Oh.
I got a facelift in grade 6 or 7.
Have they changed the story ever, Kat? Like, you know how from school everyone's like, oh, they dramatise it a bit. Elliot obviously dramatised the Jonathan Hofmeister story. It was much more simple than we thought.
No, they call me the idiot a lot, but I mean, that's mostly the most drama that they dramatise it that they is. They might forget my name and just call me the idiot who went into the building.
Oh, that's not fair. Good on you, Kat.
Sound gorgeous anyway.
It's a great villain origin story, by the way. You
that's
know
how
I mean?
She starts,
yeah,
the
exactly.
idiot.
Then she takes over the world.
Don't push people too far.
To Bentley Park, just south of Cairns. Bonnie, thanks for calling the Rush Hour. What's the one story you'll never forget from school?
Well, I was the kid that got bullied a lot.
Right.
And I'm sorry, Bonnie.
There was one – oh, no, it's okay. It made me who I am today, so that's all good. So what actually happened was this girl, she bullied me for years, and one day she come up and she tried to bully me in the school hallway in year 9. And you know the old metal lockers?
Mm-hmm.
I accidentally broke her nose.
Oh! I mean, I shouldn't condone violence, but this is great.
I went from being the nerdy bullied kid to the popular kid of the school,
Not by choice. What are you saying? You accidentally threw her into the locker or what?
No. So I opened up the locker door to try and block her and she walked into it.
Oh, that's great.
So, Bonnie, were you kind of like the people's hero because you'd taken
pretty
down
much.
The bully?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, I love that.
I mean,
those are the best stories. They're
yes,
the movie ones.
Yes, especially the fact it was an accident that it happened.
Also, stuff you bullies.
Yeah.
Never win.
Let's go to Harvey Bay. Brett joins us on the Rush Hour. Now, Brett, what's the one yarn you'll never forget from school?
Yeah, how you going, guys? Back in the 1900s when I was a lad, going by age there. Anyway, he was in English. English teacher decided to send about the 6 worst boys out on a nature trip to take some photos, to set the scene for an English scene. So anyway, so imagine giving 6 boys at school a camera that you have to take to the chemist to get it developed.
Oh, no. Oh, Brett.
So we turned our nature walk into a sex educational thing. So I really don't want to go into the specifics of it all.
But you took photos of your peckers.
Well, that too, yeah. Yep. There was others, you know, like plastic over the toilet rim and, you know, and actual life.
What? And they developed the photos.
Well, no. So when he went back to get the photos back in that 1977, he was barred from ever coming back there because he said they were pornographic and they would not release them to him.
Oh, of course, because the teacher photos the kids taking.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe it would have been better.
So I never forget, he come into class the next day or a week later when he got them and he said, "Girls, get out, boys. Sit down." His face went redder than his hair. I still remember his name, but I know I can't say that.
Thank you, Brett.
Yeah, but I'll never forget it. But I think I paid him back a lesson for writing that Brett occupies a seat on my school report.
And that's all he does.
Got him.
Yeah, I got him.
No, that's me. He said to me, "Oh, you do." Yeah, and you explain that to your father.
No.
At least
you weren't in the days that they had to do a sketch. There was still photos.
But, I mean, on the teacher, and Brett's bang on, you send 6 scallywags out, 6 boys with a camera, what are they going to do? It's either going to be their buttholes or their pecker or both. That was the only ending.
He set himself up for danger. Elliot, the last week we have been asking Queenslanders to come together and figure out, brains trust assemble, where is the most talented region in the state? The part of Queensland that produces the most superstars. And it got a little bit controversial there. Like, we had a few names that were thrown up. I was personally Team Mount Isa.
That's right.
But they've even got a billboard of all of the stars that they've got. The Shark.
But I feel like a town
Deborah
with not
Melman.
That many stars would do it, you know what I mean?
Of course.
Yeah.
You were Team Dolby.
Margot
Robbie.
A little
bit further south.
That's all I care about.
We did have a call yesterday from someone who changed the game completely and said, stop being ridiculous. There's one region in Queensland that is made of superstars. every year there's more and more being born. And that is, of course, central Queensland.
Well, that's all the vote. You put up a post on social media.
Yes.
90% of the votes were saying Rocky, Gladstone and the surrounds.
I mean, to name a few, we've obviously got Kate Miller-Heike, originally born in Gladstone.
I thought she's from Dolby.
Every single rugby league star. No, she was born in Gladstone.
Right.
Every single rugby league star pretty much in the Origin squad is from CQ and surrounds. Ben Hunt, Cam Munster, Harry Grant, Tamika Upton, Busby Maru, Anna Mears, Jodie Mears.
Right.
Josh Thomas as well, the
Who's
comedian.
That?
He was born in Blackwater. Didn't even realise.
Sure.
Went down a deep dive. This region is made of superstars. Now, it has progressed. I said that there was an opportunity here for us to, I don't know, potentially make some cash, which I love. The team from CQ have actually sent us up these little jars of CQ air.
Right.
They've just got a glass jar and they've gone, captured the air and sealed them shut. It says, this jar contains 100% pure central Queensland air. Get your dose of Queensland spirit with a taste of 100% central Queensland air. Breathe the CO2 of the legends it's produced, from Rod Laver to Kate Miller-Heike to the great Scott Minto, and you too can become a winner. Winner is absolutely not guaranteed, it says in small print at the bottom.
Okay. Now
I'm going to send these to the people that need them most.
Who's that?
In New South Wales. I've got a number of people in mind. I don't want to give it away. It's going to be a gift.
Okay.
Some people that need a bit of winning spirit, but not too much.
So you're going to help out New South Wales?
No, like a touch of winning spirit,
but not
heaps.
Okay.
And then from there, obviously, you know, that's when the big corporate big bosses ring up and say, we want to buy that air, and we make, where's bazillionaires?
I don't know if you've thought this through 100%.
I have.
Okay, because it is like you to not really plan something and just do it.
Idea is jarring bottles of Queensland, central Queensland air.
Where you don't live.
Someone did it for me, thankfully.
Right, okay.
I'll never open this because I can't let it out. It's beautiful. It's pure. It's priceless.
Yeah, it could be a fart. You don't know.
People everywhere in the whole world will want to get their hands on this.
Okay.
Watch this space, Queensland.
Can't wait to see nothing unfold.
Triple M's Rush Hour with AB and Elliot.
I don't know if this is something that's contagious because I feel like I've got it from you, because you are normally the one, because you just away from work are always talking. You don't breathe. All you do is talk.
It's a gift.
You have a habit of putting your foot in things at times.
I've been better of late.
Sure. I haven't. The last week, and I don't know what it is, I had a moment last week with a kid, turned four, the child of someone from work, and again, my parents split when I was young. I was just making a gag as I walked off, said to the mum, not the kid, I said, oh, you know, on my fourth birthday, my dad went to the shops, never came back. Apparently the kid heard that and cried every time dad left the house for the next week after.
Yeah, like there's actual therapy having to be put in place now for that poor family.
And genuine, I'm not even joking about that. I feel really bad. I think I might have had a worse moment over the last couple of days, and again, with no bad intentions. So, and shout out to this bloke, because he took it in jest and was sweet about it, and he's a Rush Hour listener that I met for the first time.
Oh, my gosh.
So his name's Malcolm.
You're cannibalising our audience now.
Yeah.
These are people that fill out forms and say, I listen to the Rush Hour so that we hopefully one day get paid more.
No, I think he still does. But it was touch and go. So I met Malcolm at local footy over the last couple of days, and you know, he came up, said he listened to the Rush Hour. He got chatting about local footy a bit and then talking about other stuff. He's a Mad King Cowboys fan, and he's talking about his favourite players and, you know, how long he's been listening to Triple M for. And older bloke, Malcolm, lovely fella, really nice guy. We were just spoken for 15 minutes, I reckon.
It's a record for you.
Yeah. Malcolm was he's a double amputee. And we didn't get to talking about that, but
no.
Yeah.
No. You think you're so smart.
No, I don't. I know I'm dumb. I failed TAFE.
I know exactly.
So Malcolm and I wrap up conversation, and obviously I throw my hand out to shake his no longer existing hand.
Producer Luke, can we ban Elliot from social engagements going forward? I've been fighting for him to go out of the house for 2 and a bit years. It's done now. Can we agree on that?
No, I enjoy the stories that come from it.
Well, it gets better because obviously there's no hand to shake, and I've realised. And because I'm so uncomfortable in that moment, I sort of... Oh, how do I word this? I grabbed his stump and I just... raised
I'm not it. Laughing, I'm crying.
No. And he looked at me and there was a moment of silence that I reckon would have only been half a second, felt like half a day. He then burst out laughing and he said it's not the first time, but...
Malcolm, if you need to contact our legal team, I understand.
No,
he ScoMo'd him.
He was... Did he do that?
Yes.
Oh, just grabbed hands to shake.
Oh, I'm scared of the next time I meet a blind listener or anything like I just...
You can't. You're banned.
No, that's fair. Anyway.
And no kids, no listeners, no stakeholders, people that are important.
No more stump shaking.
You have to stay in this studio for good.
You know what? I'm pretty okay with that.
Okay, great. Royalty is heading our way, Elliot. Come October this year, the King, King Charles, and his wife Camilla will be heading down under. We've talked about this before. The states and the territories, they've all put through their little itineraries and pitching where he should go, and it looks pretty likely that he's coming to the Sunshine State, which is exciting. The government have put together a little itinerary, includes obviously that he's going to visit Prince Charles Hospital in Brisbane, then to the Gold Coast, then to Cairns, where he's going to visit those impacted by the devastating flooding and cyclone event from Jasper. From there is a proposal for them to travel to Lizard Island, which is an hour's flight north of Cairns, and stay at the house on Lizard Island, which rents for $30,000 a night.
Who pays for that?
That's where we hit a snag, Queensland, because the state government are saying they don't want to pay that. And the royals never pay for anything.
Right.
So I thought, on 133353, have you got a spare room for Charles? You know, the cost of living, the pinch, whatever. We could do this well. It's so, almost like, you know, when like you'd go overseas and do a sporting event or whatever and you'd go...
Billeting.
Let's billet the king, the queen.
Okay.
Give him a real Queensland experience.
Right, sell your room to us.
I've got a three-bedroom townhouse.
You got a nice townhouse.
Yeah, I think I've done a great job with my guest room.
Yeah.
I also have a King Charles Cavalier dog.
Perfect.
Which I think would make him immediately feel warmed.
Right.
I've got great tea selection.
Yep.
I will have a new baby by then, but like he's got heaps of experience with kids. He's got grandkids.
Yep.
133353. Have you got a spare room for the king? Come October.
I mean, I'd happily offer him a spot because that's what you do for a royal. I don't know if he wants to stay in our spare room that was painted purple for a young girl that used to live there back in the day with the paint peeling off the walls, the broken aircon, and the Great Dane does use that spare bed as his own. So Camilla and Charles would not be able to spoon as Arlo would be between them.
And you'd have to share a bathroom with you guys.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, okay.
Put my toothbrush on one side and we can do, you know, shared toothpaste. That's no issue.
I mean, where do you sit, like, common ground with the king, though? Like, what could you do?
Well, my missus is a pom. Perfect.
Oh, true. And she loves them. She would accommodate. She She'd do a great job.
Yeah, she loves a royalist or whatever
they're
called.
She'd get all her tea towels out and her spoons.
She would absolutely. She has a spare, I kid you not, she has got a set of, like, teaspoons or whatever that I'm not allowed to use ever if we ever have a special guest. So, yes, King Charles, come on down.
133353. Mm-hmm. Have you got a spare room from the king at your place anywhere in Queensland? Sell it to us. Why should he come and stay with you? Let's go to beautiful Bowen. Craig, what are you offering up?
That's got to be better than your spare room, I tell you.
I can confirm. I've slept there.
I'm the manager of Coral Cove Apartments down at Bowen. I've got a lovely luxury rooftop penthouse that I'd be willing to put up for the lovely royal couple.
Craig, firstly, should we do a recce, Elliot, and go stay there ourselves and just suss it out?
You guys are more than welcome. I'm used to putting up with VIPs. I actually had the PM stay with me at my property in Port Douglas last year. So,
the ousted PM or the current one?
No, the current one.
Okay.
That is hopefully to be the ousted one.
Okay, so who is the biggest star or starlet you've had come along to any of your properties, Craig?
Oh, the PM would have to be the biggest. I wouldn't call him a star, but he's probably the biggest celebrity.
Yeah,
Port Douglas gets a lot of celebs. I've had a few over the years. So.
I would hope that the Queensland government would say this is a great opportunity to funnel money back into local businesses like Craig's.
Yeah.
Coral Cove Apartments and Bowen. You know how I feel about Bowen.
You're a big fan of
Obsessed
Bowen.
Obsessed with Bowen.
Okay.
I tell you that the penthouse suite looks out across Grays Bay, straight at Abbott Point.
Yep.
And I don't know if anybody knows, but we've got a rocket launch about to happen as well.
Yes.
So Gilmore Space are about to launch a rocket from Abbott Point.
When is that set to happen? Because we spoke to those guys a little while ago, Craig. It's very cool.
Oh, look, it's still held up in government red tape.
Boring.
It was supposed to happen early May.
Yep.
Now they're talking early July.
Okay. Okay. That's not too far away.
Well, Craig, we love your work and we love your part of the world. And look, we'll get in touch with King Charles people on you, mate.
All right. Throw it out there.
Appreciate you, brother.
I think my spare room might be off the table, which is fair.
I think we've got an upgrade.
I will have a brand new child.
It is, and I know we riff on this a bit, but on a serious note, it is one of the most underrated gems of the state, Bowen.
Oh my gosh. Every single time we're going to go on a little domestic trip, Alex, and I end up settling on Bowen because it's never bad.
I always go on realestate.com and just dare to dream.
Like, should we split?
If we what?
A little beach house in
Bowen. No, I don't want anything attached to your name. No. No, because at some stage you're going to get done for tax fraud. It doesn't make sense you have this much money.
This is Triple M's Rush Hour with AB and Elliot. Now sitting down with AB and Elliot, a brute of a man that served pre-seasons under Craig Bellamy.
Begging for mercy, oh.
In the rough streets of Belmore and is now packing into the front row for the Gold Coast Titans.
Has plunged over.
Welcome to the Rush Hour, Joe Stimson.
What do the Gold Coast Titans do in their darkest hour when they go down and lose to the West Tigers? What do they do when they're searching for a hero?
Jeez.
Someone to restore order to the realm. They look within. They look to a bloke that for some reason can't make the 17 ever, but come this weekend, as the Titans look to take apart the New Zealand Warriors, they found their heroine. The great Joe Stimson is back in that side. Hello, mate.
Hello, guys. That was unreal. And you know what's funny? It's actually superhero round for us. So it's pretty uncanny. Yeah.
You went along to Dreamworld or Movie World, I saw as well. What did the team do for that?
Only a couple of boys did, I think, but they asked me to be Superman, but I politely declined. I was like, just trying to be humble.
Too uncanny, you know?
Lex Luthor. Joe, on a serious note, and congrats on seeing your name in the team sheet, made sense for this week. But that's one of the Titans, if not the Titans' worst loss of the year against the Tigers. What do you do? And again, I'm not trying to pile on here, but these are just facts. What do you do when you're at your lowest point? How do you try and build up again?
Yeah, obviously it was very, very disappointing how we played. Like, again, we went through the positives and we had made that many line breaks and we just couldn't execute. But, it's just pretty much like looking within, really. Like, why are the same errors happening? Not to the same people, but in the team. Like, it's been our issue the whole year. But, like, holding the ball and putting ourselves under pressure and in the NRL, if you're under that much pressure for that long, you sort of just, you fold and we keep folding. So, yeah, everyone was pretty disappointed, especially Dez. There was a few deaths during the week, but everyone's real sweet now.
Yeah, definitely getting some hits with the pool noodle.
Mm.
Now, Fifita obviously has been named. He's back to full strength. Is he going to be fired up? I mean, we were thinking that maybe there was a chance he'd be added to this Maroons origin squad if he was fit enough. He seems to be fit enough to be playing for the Titans. So I can imagine he's particularly enraged and wants to prove a point.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I'm glad he's on my side this week because, I think he'll have a point to prove. I was talking to him the other day. He was pretty disappointed about not making game one, and I think, getting injured last week didn't help him, but I feel like he's probably been playing with some of his best footy in terms of, like, defensively and attackingly, having, an all-round solid game. So, so I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does this week because we need him.
Now, Joe, obviously, both New South Welshmen, we're the good guys, you know, where we're picking the great heroes of Latrell Mitchells, etc., into our team. How about these Queenslanders? They always going about pick and stick. And this young kid, they've abandoned him, Selwyn Cobbo.
He's injured.
They chucked him to the turf. That's a conspiracy.
Exactly. I put him on the bench and started him, and now he goes, oh, thanks, mate. You just won the game for us, but we don't need you anymore. Like,
Billy doesn't get it, does he?
If you keep bullying
he
us.
He doesn't get – Billy Slater does not get Origin.
You're right. That's what I think. Yeah. Was he even that good at playing fullback? Like, he was all right.
Yeah, I can't remember him. Like, I think he scored one mad try. Like, just, yeah, that's about it.
You could have said that one to the press as well. NRL player, Billy Slater doesn't get Origin. Just leave. Oh, criminal. But, I mean, looking to positives, you guys have done it before against the Warriors. They've got a few outs. Do you feel confident, particularly being back at home?
Yeah, of course. Having our home fans, which would be good. I think it's going to be a sellout, actually. So New Zealand pretty popular up here. But, we're looking forward to that. But, yeah, I think we're really confident. Like, we've beat them once, and I'm sure we can do it again, especially, the little hit back from last week. I think we're pretty motivated to prove a point.
All right, well, we'll kick off between the Warriors and the Titans. 3 p.m. Saturday afternoon. You'll hear it right here on Triple M and the Listener app. And, I mean, obviously the news of the rounds is a hero returns. The great Joe Stimson in jersey number 17 for the Titans. God, this is going to look bad on us if he gets pulled from the game at the last minute. But, hey, Joe, we hope you're playing. Good luck this weekend.
Thank God.
This is Triple M's Rush Hour with AB and Elliot.